This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The global chip crisis finally bites the world's best-selling car maker. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Toyota said the global semiconductor chip shortage is forcing it to make 500,000 fewer cars in the next year. The announcement came in the company's latest earnings report, which also showed profits dropped 21% in the fourth quarter. The BBC's Mariko Oi explains what's gone wrong for the Japanese carmaker.
Toyota was relatively better prepared, I guess, compared to its rivals because it reviewed its supply chain after the 2011 tsunami when the company had a very similar problem of not having enough semiconductor chips. But of course, as the pandemic dragged on, the company started getting affected. And today it was very clear that the chip shortage is really starting to affect Toyota because its profit slipping by about 21% and the company had to cut that global production target once again to 8.5 million.
What is Toyota doing to try to get more chips?
Toyota is probably in a slightly better position than its rivals in terms of securing stocks after reviewing that supply chain 10 years ago and building stronger relationship with its suppliers. Also, globally, we're seeing increasing investments into semiconductor chips specifically for autos.
And some analysts have also suggested that some of the pain for Toyota, at least, could have potentially been offset if the company had been more involved in electric vehicle production earlier.
The company has made a bet, if you like, on hybrids for a very, very long time. And hybrids are still very popular in emerging markets. But as EVs become way more popular in some of its biggest markets like China, the US and Europe, it is having to now play a catch up with its rivals.
The BBC's Mariko Oi. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, despite announcing that cut in production, Toyota shares ended up 2% in Tokyo today. That's as it stuck by its full-year profit forecast of $24.2 billion. Checking some other numbers now. Investors seem to be shrugging off ongoing geopolitical uncertainty, at least for now. Stock benchmarks here in Europe are up in the 0.5% to 1.8% range. The Hang Seng led the way in Asia, closing up more than 2% today. Well, we've been talking about supply chain issues and the disruption they've caused during the pandemic. That's also been a problem here in the UK, but it's exacerbated by Brexit. That's according to a new report from a cross-party group of British members of Parliament, as the BBC's Chris Morris reports.
This report says trade volumes have been suppressed by the impact of COVID-19 and wider global pressures since the UK left the EU customs union and single market. But it's clear, the report adds, that the exit from the EU has had an impact and new border arrangements have added costs to business. The committee says there's potential for further disruption as more people start travelling again. There will also be extra bureaucracy and delays when the EU introduces new passport controls and the UK starts checking the import of food products. The committee is calling for more transparency from government about the problems businesses are facing.
That's Chris Morris reporting there. High gas prices are going to stick around a bit longer thanks to elevated demand and a lack of investment in production facilities over the years. That's according to the boss of French energy giant Total. His company, though, is now making investments in the future. This month, it joined forces with the China National Offshore Oil Corporation, or CNOOC, for a $10 billion deal to develop Uganda's energy resources and build a vast regional oil pipeline there. But the BBC's Patience Atuhare explores whether the country will be able to reap the benefits as the world shifts to greener energy sources.
The land here was being used by the local community for grazing their animals not long ago, but the area has seen rapid changes. Underneath the plains stretching southward into the Western Rift Valley escarpment flow at least 6.4 billion barrels of oil reserves, about 1.4 billion of them commercially viable. Over 200 kilometers south of the Tilenga oil field, Environmental Officer Nicholas Chiza explains to me why he has to ensure that the capped oil wells at Sinuk's Kingfisher oil field are airtight at all times.
This is the most sensitive area here, so we do gas monitoring to ensure that we detect in case there are any gas leaks. The gas detector indicates that the conditions are okay, oxygen is okay, carbon monoxide and hydrogen sulfide that we detect, they are all okay. At the moment, it is showing 0000 parts per million for the gases that it detects. So that's why I said it is normal.
Uganda plans to start producing oil by 2025, but analysts have questioned whether it has taken too long to pass legislation, build infrastructure, and reach agreements that Uganda may miss the oil market as rich economies shift towards green energy. Uganda is banking a lot on its oil industry, and government says that it anticipates revenues of up to $47 billion over the lifetime of production. Proskovia Nabanja, CEO of the Uganda National Oil Company, argues that the global debate about energy transition is unfair to countries like Uganda.
So when someone tells you to transition, you have to look into perspective. Transition from what? Transition from diesel, petrol engines to electrical vehicles, or transition from biomass to at least diesel and petrol? I think for us, the narrative has to be different in Africa, especially Uganda, that we are not yet there. All our visions for the East African community or most of the African countries are driven by industrialization using our resources, and we shouldn't be stopped from doing that.
All over Uganda's Midwestern region, villages where maize and cassava farms once flourished will soon be industrial areas. And that is changing lives and livelihoods. Fausta Tumuhire's life has been disrupted twice. In 2017, she was relocated from her village to make way for construction of the refinery and compensated with land and a house. Just as she began to settle in 2020, a piece of her new land was acquired for a feeder pipeline. She's still awaiting compensation.
My land is like my bank. I grow food, get an income, and pay my children's school fees. I cannot use it for long-term crops such as coffee once it has been measured and valued. The compensation for that portion measuring 12 decimals has delayed, and this has taken away my sense of independence.
Despite the compensation delays and concerns about environmental protection, Uganda hopes that its oil and gas sector will create jobs and improve other sectors of the economy. That is, if the oil can be extracted while there is still global demand for fossil fuels.
That's the BBC's Patience Atuarhe reporting from the Albertine region of Uganda there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.